Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
As every year, I like to preach on Thanksgiving, the Sunday before Thanksgiving Day. You know why, right? Because after Black Friday, you're no longer in Thanksgiving mode. You're in Christmas shopping mode, right? Too late to talk about Thanksgiving. So I do it the Sunday before to remind you. Amen? That's why I always preach Thanksgiving the Sunday before actual Thanksgiving. And I want to thank you guys because we were able to pack 322 shoeboxes. Amen? Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Y'all came through with flying colors. I'm still looking for the other 78 boxes. I'm just kidding, right? We did really great with 322 boxes. They immediately, we did that on Sunday. We took them all, and then immediately after that, on Monday, we got together with a team of people, made sure that they were all nice and sealed, made sure that everything was accounted for and that all the boxes were in good shape and things like that. And we were able to send them out. When was it? Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I don't know, but they're shipped out, and we're hoping that they will be there by December the 8th. Between December the 8th and the 10th. And the church down there, New Jerusalem Baptist Church, is going to actually have a party with a bunch of food for the kids on the 16th of December. So you want to be in prayer for the 16th of December. It's going to be an awesome, and I hope and pray that they have a lot of pictures and videos to send us back so that we can look and we can see how great is our God when we put our efforts together and really great things happen and just a beautiful thing. Maybe we'll go to another country next year. We'll do something else somewhere else. Amen? And also, I want us to pray because these kind of things, when we are mindful of people in other places and where the gospel is going, and we may support something small, as small as a shoebox. You may have no idea how big that can become. And I've told you before, we have some people in our church that received boxes when they were kids like these in their neighborhoods. And today, they're here and they're serving the Lord right here in this church. So it's with very great excitement that we do this. I want you to pray also because I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I told you about this, but I'm going to tell you right now. I'm thankful and at the same time, not worried, but concerned that we need to do something in Guatemala. The Guatemalans start screaming, right? Thank God she's only half Guatemalan. If not, she would have yelled out like crazy up in here, right? But let me tell you something. In Guatemala, some of our dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ from our church in Chalmette, Horeb Chalmette, they have family members and friends in Guatemala that have started a congregation now. This congregation now is going to be a year old. And we've been trying to plan on something to go there and do something because not only they are friends and family of our other brothers and sisters in Chalmette, they have actually put a sign up over there at their church that says Iglesia Bautista Horeb. All right, they put a sign up and they got t-shirts that say Horeb. And they got it all together. We have a church in Guatemala that you guys and neither I knew for a little while until all of a sudden we were surprised with it. So we need to pray about planning a trip and going to Guatemala and setting them straight. Amen? Nah, we got to go there and let them know that we're behind them and supporting them. And it all happened because a family from a certain neighborhood in a town in Guatemala decided, We need to do something. We've been watching you guys online, and we want to follow you. And there they are, all right? So keep that in prayer. Maybe you'll be getting on a plane with us and going to Guatemala and doing something over there too. Amen? So there's many reasons to be thankful for. And if you were here on Friday, you saw 20-something people just parade up here what God has been doing in their lives. And God has been great. Amen? It's been so awesome and so beautiful. So there is reason to be thankful. And today we're going to talk about that in light of a miracle. How about that? We've been talking about the miracles of Jesus. And of course, we can see that in most miracles of Jesus, there's some expression of thankfulness in some way, shape, or fashion. But in this particular miracle, it's very, very, very important that we see that at the center of this miracle is the coming back to God and thanking Him for the miracle. And I'm talking about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. And out of the 10, only one came back to say thank you and to praise Him. So we're going to go into Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 11 through 19, 11 through 19 in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Luke. And let's see this account and see what's happening. Jesus is actually on His way to Jerusalem. This is probably after He had raised Lazarus. Okay, so this is right after another miracle that had happened, that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. He's now on His way to Jerusalem, making His way there because you know what's going to happen in Jerusalem. Jesus is going to be crucified. He knows that. We didn't know that. Well, they didn't know that. But He kept warning them that He was going to give His life. And that's on His way to Jerusalem. He is going by way of by Galilee and Samaria. It's like he's going down the road that it's the border between the Samaritans and the Jews. Now, if you recall, the Samaritans were considered by the Jews like half-breeds. They didn't like them very much, and they had their own worship place because they didn't want to worship in Jerusalem. They worshipped in another mountain called Mount Gerizim. And they had another place where they worship apart from the Jews. So the Jews went to one mountain, they went to another, and they were separated. And the Jews hated the Samaritans, and they treated them like dogs. Dogs that were not treated at the time like we treat them. And if you don't believe me, ask Elsie and Rocky. They have a dog, and they love this dog, right? At that time, dogs were off the street, and they were kicked around. Nobody wanted them. They were out there. They were not pets or little beautiful little things like the one Shannon has, right? So they were not like that. And the Samaritans were considered dogs. So it's bad. But here's the deal. Jesus is walking towards Jerusalem down the path that is right in the border between the Samaritans and the Jews. And here's what happens in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. While He was on the way to Jerusalem, He was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As He entered a village, ten leprous men who stood at a distance met Him. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face, at His feet, giving thanks to Him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Yes! What a beautiful story. Let's think about a few things here. And that's one of the reasons why being thankful. That's why I asked Jay at the last minute to read Psalm 103. Because if you look at Psalm 103, it's about thankfulness for his mercy, for his healing, for his salvation. Because God is good. God has worked on our behalf. God has done that many, many, many times over and over again. You see here that there were Jews and there were Samaritans within this group, most likely. But they were together. They were all lepers. And they say misery loves company. And even if it's just a Samaritan, okay, you can hang out with me since we can't hang out with nobody else. Remember, they were outcasts. They were not allowed to get close to the people. They were to stay out of town in the wilderness. They had a place for them outside of everything. You can't celebrate Christmas with us. They didn't have Christmas, right? You can't come to Thanksgiving dinner either. No, they didn't have that either necessarily. But they had other things that they did as a society and as a people of God that they were not able to participate. They couldn't even live in their houses. They couldn't even be close to their family members. 10 miserable lepers hanging out together, probably 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan maybe. But they were the only friends that they could actually interact with, each other, because they were outcasts. They had nobody else. They were prohibited from any human contact with anybody. Only a leper could get close to a leper. Now you see that all 9 of the 10 just went to the priest, or at least we think they did, because Jesus from the distance. Remember that the first miracle we preached here a while back was the healing of a leper. But this time Jesus touched him. That time. And this time Jesus didn't even get close. It was like, hey, go show yourselves to the priest. Now I want you to get that churning in your mind, because this is very amazing. I could see in my head, you know, me and my crazy ideas, I could see 9 people going that way and 1 people going the other way. Because remember, they worship in the different mountain. So I'm going to go see the priest in Jerusalem. But yeah, but your priest is over there and our priest is over here. The Samaritan probably wasn't running in the same direction as the other 9 probably. But you know what? You could assume that the other 9 Jewish, or maybe they were Jewish, all headed one way and the Samaritan the other way. But this one came back. I want you to think about this. All of them, Jesus said, go to the priests and show yourself. They all went to their priests, and the Samaritan came back to the high priest, to Jesus, the high priest, the healer, the one that is the perfecter of our faith. This is beautiful. That's mercy and kindness of God. We're going to see that too. But today we're going to look at different lessons that we can learn from these leprous men. All right? You think about it, they all exercised some degree of faith. They exercised some degree of faith, of course, because they all decided to turn to go to the priest. You know, but only one was grateful. But you think about it. Samaritans more grateful than Jews? Amazing. Let's think about this. And let me give you 8 things that I can see, 8 lessons that I can see here. Number 1, God's mercy is for all, even the ungrateful. Even the ungrateful are blessed by the mercy of God. They were all healed. Not all of them came back to be grateful, yet they were all healed. I mean, think about it. All 10 lepers, all of them were healed. They all experienced it. Now, the question may be, did Jesus know beforehand that 9 of them were going to be ungrateful and only 1 grateful? Did he know? Of course he knew. We know that. But imagine, Jesus could have done things differently. Jesus could have just said to the 10 lepers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you stay right there. You're healed. He could have healed the one that was grateful, just him. And a lot of times, that's the kind of stuff that we preach. That's the kind of stuff we tell people. If you're not thankful, God will not bless you. Really? Man, I'm going to ask you a favor. over there, people online too, I'm going to ask you a big favor right now. If we could do this all together at the count of three. I want you to take a deep breath. One, two, three. You see, you've just been blessed by God with the breath. You may not even know who God is, and you just breathe. You see, the mercy of God is over all, even the ungrateful. You may not ever have woken up in your life from your bed or got down on your knees and said, oh, God, thank you for the breath I breathe. Thank you for the air. You may not ever have done that in your life, yet you breathe. And it's him who blesses you. See, did Jesus know beforehand? Of course he does. But he could have explained it away. He said, hey, I only healed this one because I knew that you guys wouldn't come back to say thank you. So the only thankful person, you come here and you're healed. But of course, he did not do that. He healed all 10 of them. There's a saying in Spanish, the sun comes out for everyone. You see? I mean, we all enjoy the benefits and the blessings of the mercy of God because he can take the sun away. And you know what would happen if he takes the sun away? You would freeze to death immediately. Or he may not even take it away, just bring it up on you a little closer. You will burn to death immediately. So it's God's mercy for everyone. We're all recipients of God's mercy in one way or another, just being able to breathe, right? Anyway, think about this. If Jesus would have healed only the grateful, then it wouldn't be mercy. Because mercy is undeserved. And he exercises mercy. It's translated as loving kindness and or compassion and loving kindness. So you think God is compassionate and loving towards you and that he doesn't give you what you deserve. He's so merciful. Now, if you deserved it, then it wouldn't be mercy. It would be a reward. So he is merciful. Mercy is the compassion of God on all. Number two, not only he exercises his mercy over all, even the ungrateful, God values the least. And he himself will become the least for all of us, for them and for us. You see, they were nobodies. They were outcasts. They were out there. They wouldn't be, but Jesus was not only for them. He was for the poor. He was for the messy, for the broken, for the outcast. No matter how messed up you might be, Jesus cares for you, and he can still do a miracle on your behalf, as messed up as we can be. And if a miracle is what you need, and Jesus knows that, and if he thinks and he wills that a miracle is what you need, then he will give you a miracle. He will grant you your miracle. And not because you asked, not because you bought the oil, not because you sent an offering, not because you got some holy water in a little packet, not because you put your hand on the TV, just because he is merciful, even if you don't deserve it. That's what he does. That's why we can be thankful. Isn't that... You know, you think about what's behind your gratefulness. When you say to somebody, thank you, maybe because they took the load off of you with something. Maybe because they did something you did not expect. Maybe because they did something you couldn't do for yourself. Maybe because they got you out of trouble. Oh, my God, so many reasons to be thankful, right? So when you see that, it's because people exercise mercy with each other, you know? Not that I'm like, well, okay, I'll do you a favor, Danny, even you don't deserve it. No, that's not the point, because we're not to be judging like that. But we don't deserve God's mercy. Yet he gives it to us. See, he became the least. He cares about the least. And guess who the least is? You, leper. You and me. You see, when you have the right view of yourself as a sinner, you may think, I'm the outcast, I'm the lowest, I'm the messy one. And that's okay, because you have one that out of your messes does miracles. That's God. Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about Jesus and his deity, his divinity, and his rightful essence of God, because he is God. And he says that Jesus did not consider having the essence of God, being God himself, being the same as God the Father, as something that he would grasp and I can't let go. Jesus did not fight the will of the Father to come down here. Jesus was not in heaven going like, oh, no, I don't want to go down there. He wasn't. He let go of all of his glory and he became the lowest. And I'm talking about became a man, left his glory to become a man, and a man who was a servant, and a servant who gave his life on the cross for you and me. The lowest. He became the lowest of all sinners without being a sinner, and all for you and me. No matter who you are, what matters is who he is. That's what's important. Number three. You can cry out to him in your despair because he is listening. I mean, they didn't even get close to Jesus. They were at the distance going like, Master, have mercy upon us. Have pity upon us. They were yelling. And they actually called him Master. And remember last week or the week before, I don't remember anymore. I'm like you. I forget what I preached on Sunday by Monday. That's why you keep notes. Amen. Because I know by Monday, if I ask, what did I preach yesterday? You'd be like, nah, blah, 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 blah. No, I didn't preach about that, brother. Right? But I just told you on one of the past miracles, I think it was last week. What did I tell you? See, I forgot what I was going to tell you. I'm serious, man. You see that? I just forgot what I was just going to say a moment ago. Something wrong with me. Something wrong with me. But imagine this Samaritan. God is listening to him. God is listening to every single one of them. And I want you to imagine this person who has been the outcast, not only because he's a leper, but because he's not a full Jew, coming down low and getting on his knees. You may feel so unworthy at times, or you may have been treated as if you had no worth, but Jesus cares and he gives you worth. He loves and cares for the lowest of all of them. He died on the cross for the lowest of the lowest. He died on the cross for you and me. You can cry out in your despair. And Jesus is always ready to listen to your cry for mercy. He will. They were supposed to cry out, unclean, unclean. That's what they were supposed to be shouting. They were not supposed to be asking for pity and mercy. They were supposed to ask, or not ask, but yell out and warn people, I'm unclean, don't get close to me. But they started calling him Master. Oh, I remember now. Master. Most people call Jesus Master in the sense of teacher. But they were not. These lepers are the only ones, aside from the disciples, that call Jesus Master, meaning commander in chief or boss, big man. They were actually giving Jesus a title that only the disciples were giving him. So this is interesting. You see, and Jesus knows their condition. Jesus doesn't need to hear him say unclean. Jesus knew them. And he knew that they were unclean. Jesus knows our condition. Did you know that? Jesus knows exactly what you go through each and every second of your life. He knows you're unclean, I'm unclean, we're unworthy, but he is merciful and he is compassionate. He loves us that much. And Psalm 100 and verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness, his mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations, all over. And when Jesus shows up, his compassion, his loving kindness, his mercy changes everything. So he hears their cry saying, unclean, unclean. Yeah, but he also heard their cry saying, have mercy on me. And this is a model for us to think and to adopt in our lives, to constantly understand that without Christ, we are unclean. In him, we have been cleansed. You don't have to yell unclean anymore if you're in Christ, but you still need his mercy. And you can cry out, have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me. Have compassion. I want your loving kindness. And you see, that's the thing. I want you to understand this. If Jesus is listening to your prayers, that should have a change effect on your prayers. Now, if you're talking to somebody and you know they're not listening, Alma, what do? You don't talk to them. I mean, they're not listening, right? Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wives. Don't look at your kids when I talk about this, right? But if you're talking to someone and you know they're not listening, or you have a suspicion that they might not be listening, that they're tuned out, you just stop talking. It changes everything. Now, when you know somebody's listening and you know that they're paying attention to every single word of yours and they actually care about what you're saying, that changes your conversation, doesn't it? When somebody actually cares. And so knowing that Jesus is listening, knowing that he actually cares, knowing that he actually knows everything, that should change your prayers. How did it change the prayer to them? It changed from unclean, unclean, to have mercy upon us. You see that? Not only they changed what they were saying, they believed that there was somebody listening. That's why they changed what they were saying. I posted this on Facebook this morning because I was very inspired. Your misery is an opportunity to experience a miracle in his mercy. Your misery is an opportunity to experience a miracle in his mercy. You may be miserable, but he can do a miracle by his mercy. So cry out to Jesus. You can cry out now. I'm just giving space in case anybody wants to cry out right now. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, and it doesn't matter who you are, what matters is who he is. Amen? Well, let's continue on. Let's go. Number four, obedience always results in blessing. You can see it. I mean, did they all obey? Yes, they did. Even the 9 ungrateful lepers were obedient. I want you to understand and see the scenario. They're far away. They're not that close, or maybe, but they're not in touching distance. They're not just talking. They're yelling, "Have mercy upon us, Master." And Jesus says, "Go to your priest and show yourselves." Now, I want you to think. Leprosy all over your body. You're withering. You're dying. And he says, "Hey, go show you to priest. Show yourself to the priest." Yeah, right. Not in this condition. I may not even make it over there. I might just wear out. My legs might just go out by the time I get to the priest. There's no way. You see, a doubtful person like me, or maybe you, would be like, "But I'm a leper. I'm not supposed to go to the priest unless I'm healed." And guess what? Hello. Because if you look at the progression of the story, they were not healed instantaneously. Like the other leper, when Jesus touched him, he was healed immediately. These guys were not healed immediately. They were healed on the way back to see the priest. Now, did they travel 10 steps before they got healed? Or did they travel 10 miles before they got healed? I don't know. I don't know if they walked a mile and then all of a sudden like, "Whoa! Wow!" I don't know if it just happened after 2 steps. But it happened on the way. It was a progression. Have you ever asked God to do something, heal you, or take something away from you, and you want it now? And God says, "Go ahead, obey me, and it shall happen as you go." Sometimes a miracle can happen slowly, but surely. Sometimes it may happen immediately, but you always need to be obedient, because your obedience will always result in a blessing. But the blessing does not always result in praise and obedience, right? How many of you have ever been blessed and then been disobedient? Yeah? I thought it was just me. Thank you for supporting me. I mean, there's times when we are blessed and then all of a sudden we just dismiss it or don't even see it and we don't obey. Or we're not as grateful. It happens. But they simply did exactly what Jesus said to do, all 10 of them. He said, "Go," and they went. Now, remember that they heeded Jesus' word and they had not been healed yet. Here's the problem. I don't know if it happens to you. actually. I know it happens to you because it happens to me. Here's the problem. We're always expecting blessings. Amen? God is a God of blessings. I expect him to bless me because he blesses. He is good, abundantly good. That's great. But the problem is that a lot of times we want the blessing first so that then we can respond in obedience. Huh. Well, God, if you give me this, I will blank. If you allow me to have this, I will. Have you ever done that? Probably have. Ask him for the blessing so that you can respond in obedience. And what Jesus did was, you respond in obedience, then I'll respond with the blessing. You see, being blessed does not always turn into obedience, but, and I'm living proof of that, but yet your obedience will always turn and result in blessing. But don't worry, my friend, let me tell you something. If you've fallen into this category like me, that's what repentance is for. We can always repent. We can always come back. We can always turn and come to him like the leper did. There may be occasions in that your obedience may lead to trials, to tribulations, or to very serious problems. Sometimes your obedience is going to lead to danger. But don't lose sight. Do not be discounting God in your situation and knowing that your obedience ultimately will result in a blessing. I read a quote online the other day, and I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it captivated my mind enough that I wrote something, and it might be close to it. When it comes to obedience, think about this. Obeying, even if it means giving up your life. Most Christians, you would ask them, are you willing to give up your life for Jesus? Of course! I'm willing to go to the cross. I'm willing to be taken from this earth in whatever manner because I love Jesus. I'm willing to obey him to death. But some people, of those who claim who are willing to obey Jesus till death, I mean to die for him. Are not willing to obey all the way to church on a Sunday. I'm willing to go to the cross. I'm willing to go to Calvary for Jesus. I'm willing to die, go to death, but not willing to come to church. Too difficult. Anyway, let's go to number 5. God honors our faith, and it is impossible to please him without faith. Anyway, there's not a thing that happened on their behalf until they exercised faith. You see, Jesus told them to go. They heeded the command. They obeyed. Why do you think they went? Because they trusted, they believed. In some way, shape, or fashion, they exercised some faith. They believed, hey, this guy told us to go to the priest. We do what he says. And why would they do that if they were not healed yet? Most likely, it looks like they were believing that they could be healed, that there was a possibility, that there was hope. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. He will respond. If you trust him, he will do. God rewarded all 10 of the lepers. All 10 were rewarded. Like it says, they all came seeking, and Hebrews chapter 11, 6, it says that he rewards all of those who diligently seek him. They came seeking Jesus, and Jesus actually rewarded them by healing their bodies. The healer healed them all, but only one hailed a healer. You got that? The healer healed them all, but only one healed man hailed the healer. Too many H's there, right? So let's go to number 6. True gratitude will always lead to praise. Too often we're so content and we enjoy the gift that we forget to enjoy the giver of the gift, right? Have you ever felt unappreciated when you have brought a gift to somebody? They got so excited about the gift, they forgot you were there. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't go to birthday parties no more. Nah, I'm just kidding. But that happens. It probably happened to you. And man, it's okay that people get excited about your gift, because all of a sudden it creates an attitude of gratefulness in you. You're like, oh, they like my gift. Thank you, Jesus, that I brought the right thing. Right? But all of a sudden you feel like they seem so happy with the gift, they forgot to say thank you. And then your heart starts churning and they're like, ungrateful little thing. I should have brought nothing. That's why I don't like birthday parties. Just give me the cake to go. Right? No. But the thing is that when you're grateful with God, when you're grateful to God, it will definitely, or it should lead, it always leads to praise, right? Here's a Samaritan on his knees before a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. He's loudly crying out in thanksgiving. The word says that when he noticed that he was healed, he turned back around, ran, which that was not called for in Jewish society. You did not run. That was unbecoming of a man to be running out in the street. Running, and it says loudly praising God and giving thanks. And he came down on his knees. Wow, Samaritan. How shameful for a Samaritan to be running around like a child. How shameful for a Samaritan to do that in front of all the Jews. How shameful for a Samaritan to come and do that to a Jew and thank him and worship him. And then to do it all out loud saying thank you. How shameful. He humbled himself. He worshiped with a loud voice of thanksgiving. So many Christians. Let's take it back to 2023. There are so many Christians who are so careful about the way they worship, because they don't want to be seen as crazy people or one of those hallelujah people. And they come to church and they're like, why are people shouting so much? Why they got to get so loud? Or if somebody says, hallelujah, they go like, or somebody starts moving and God is so great. Yeah, dancing in church. Go ahead. Yeah. You about to be stricken. And we just, some of us may even just like, I'm not even going to sing because that's unbecoming to be doing in front of people. Some Christians don't sing. They don't like to shout. They don't like to sing. They don't just don't like. I don't know what happens when the saints score a touchdown in their lives, you know, or something. I don't know what happens in their lives. Hey, hallelujah, amen, sister. But you see, oh, clapping and waving my hands in church? Oh, no, that's ridiculous. That's something to think about. How dare I make a fool of myself in front of others? All that noise, what would people say? But I want you to know something. You know what a megaphone is? Have you ever seen a megaphone? You know, one of those horns that you press the button like, Rawr! And it becomes real loud so everybody can hear you. That's exactly the words that Luke used for the leper here. Megaphonus. He was actually portraying for modern times a picture of a megaphone in your hand and going like, thank you! That's the exact literal words that Luke used. This man became a living megaphone. Just like that. There's no shame in his worship. Worship, there should be no shame of anyway, for worship and shame cannot go together. They don't get along. Worship is an expression of being humbled, not humiliated. Unfortunately, some people think that worshiping like that may be humiliating, but it's not. It's humbling, though. Who cares what others will say? Whatever matters is that Jesus is listening. I don't care what nobody else says. All I care is what Jesus says. But sometimes what people say hurts me too. So this healed Samaritan was not humiliated, but he was humbled because he was worshiping the one who healed him. Don't be so uncomfortable Like, for example, at the end of each service, I might call and say, hey, if you want to give your life to Christ, just show me by raising your hand because I want to pray for you. And some people don't want to raise their hands because everybody's going to be looking at me. Oh, and I know the pastor. Then he's going to say, would you come forward? Oh, my God, why does he do that? That's shameful. Humiliating. Really? I mean, let me tell you something. Raising your hand or coming to the altar is not a requirement to be saved at all. I don't ever want to portray the idea that if you didn't come before or if you didn't raise your hand, you're not saved. No, that's not the idea. The idea is that you ought to be so grateful that God changes your life. You ought to be so thankful that you have, I shouldn't even be calling, you should be leaping bounds. You should be just taking a step on your own and just jump and come to the altar and say, I need Jesus and he's here and I'm his. Amen. Hallelujah. Without shame. Because you enjoy the healing from the healer, so you hail him. See, faith without praise is not true faith. It kind of dwindles. It goes away. The faith of these lepers dwindled. Only one expresses faith in worship and in praise. You see, the other nine may have had some degree of faith. And you know people like that. You see, they believe, but it's just, they take little steps and they're like, I don't know yet. And no praise. But let's go to the last two because I need to close for you. See, the thing is that God cherishes gratitude. So come with thanksgiving in your heart. Come. Even Jesus, I can tell that Jesus longs for gratitude. Because Jesus says, wait a second, were there not ten? Where are the other nine? Now, of course, this is a rhetorical question because Jesus knows the answer. Where are the other nine? Only one came back to thank me? Only one came back? Jesus asked that. He felt the pain of ungratefulness, just like we feel it. See, we offend Jesus when we take him and we forget him. Or we take his gifts and forget him as the gift giver. An ungrateful disciple of Christ, is it even a disciple? There's some questions that we can ask ourselves. Many people experience the goodness of God and the mercy of God, but not the gratefulness to God. Where are the other nine? Where are you? Where am I? Have you ever wondered what happened to the other nine? Well, let me show you. No, I don't know. We don't know what happened to the other nine, but we know for sure that Jesus healed them. Did they ever make it to the priest? I wonder. Did the leprosy come back because they were ungrateful? We don't know. Did they go on to enjoy a happy and healthy life? We don't know. The only thing we know for sure is that Jesus healed them. Have you ever seen anybody that has been blessed by God in such a way that is so noticeable, yet they never placed their faith in him? That might have happened to these guys. But we do know what happened to the one who became grateful. He ended up at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him as his healer. So let's look at the leper that came back for a second. Let's learn from him. Let's follow him. What did he do? He turned to Jesus, fell at his feet, and praised him. Three steps. He turned to Jesus. He fell at his feet, and he praised him. That's why I wanted to read Psalm 103 this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. This guy did not forget. This God did not who pardons all of our iniquities, who heals our diseases. Check it out. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness, with mercy and compassion. You see, when you turn to him, you're turning back. It's a symbol of repentance. It's a symbol of repentance. Repentance means changing your mind, therefore changing your course, coming to Jesus. He fell at his feet. Not only he turned, but he repented, but he also humbled himself. He went down on the ground. He could no longer stand on his own two feet at the presence of Jesus. He understood that he was alive because of the mercy of the one who had taken the leprosy from him. He humbled himself, and that's exactly what we need to do. God's mercy should lead us there, should bring us down to the ground as we acknowledge his mercy over us. You see, loudly praising him, acknowledging him, that everybody knows who you know and has been known by you. Now, the response of Jesus to this outcast, this sinner, that was not worthy of being touched. Stand up, Jesus said, and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, in your Bibles, it may say a little different. In your Bibles, it may say, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. And actually, that is exactly, literally what it says in the original Greek. Your faith has saved you. It's not just about being healed in the body. It's about being saved in Christ, your soul. Being transferred over from death to life. This Samaritan came back and God saved him and gave him a new life. This is important because now the healer has become his savior. So how about you? How about I? We've been forgiven. We've been healed. Maybe God hasn't healed my body from something, but he healed my soul and brought me to life in Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven. We've been born again. We're a child of God if we believed him. The Bible says that by grace we have been saved through faith. Faith is the channel that brings God's grace to your life. Some people can be recipients of God's miracles, yet they may never experience the miracle of salvation and eternal life. I think that's what happened to these other nine, because they fell short of the wonderful and powerful miracle that is above all miracles, the miracle of being born again by the Holy Spirit. If you look at the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, the Bible talks about the sower that goes out, and as he is spreading the seeds, some of the seeds fall on the way. Some of the seeds fall into the rocks and rocky places, and some of the seed falls into the thorns and bushes, and some of the seed falls into good ground. And they were all like, oh. And Jesus said, let me explain to you about this parable. And he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in the heart. Okay? This is the one whose seed was sown beside the road. Then he continues on. The one whose seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately falls away. That could have been the other nine. But then, the one whose seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word and then worries, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of the wealth chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. And then, here it is, the Samaritan. And the one whom seed, in whom the seed was sown on the good soil. This is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30. The one who brings back his praise of thanksgiving. Don't forget that. Come to Jesus. Humble yourself and praise him. Now you can say that you're truly thankful.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.